this is Bronson Fry with the Associated General Contractors of Alaska Build Alaska podcast. I am joined today by Mr. Ray Jensen, the State Director for Alaska Skills USA. How are you doing today, Ray?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me here.
Well, it's great to have you. Appreciate you making some time to chat with us. So, Skills USA, tell me a little bit about it. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Skills USA is a network of networking between students and industry, trying to get the students to learn at the high school level and college level on the trades and soft skills and hard skills that the students will need. And so Skills USA was developed and started in 1965 to start doing that networking between industry and high school and colleges. And I've been involved with it since about 1970. I was going through the Carpenters Union in Spokane, Washington, and I was introduced to an organization called VICA. And through VICA, and with our Carpenters Union there, they had us do some competition throughout the state. We went to Seattle and competed from different members. And that got me interested in that, and then I moved to Alaska during the pipeline time and started my own business. And through my business, I met a gentleman by the name of Howard Lowry. So in 1974-75, Howard Lowry was talking to me about Skills USA. And at that time, again, it was VICA, which is Vocational Industrial Clubs of America, which older members here will know a lot about. That was very popular at the time. And he got me hooked into it as an industry member. I had a cabinet shop, and I was helping build the pipeline camps and work up on the North Slope. And then that took a lot of time. And so in 1984, he decided to take, or another gentleman decided to take a year off and volunteered me to take over teaching at Wassail High School as a cabinet-making teacher. And I've been doing cabinet-making at Wassail High School or other classes at Wassail High School since 1984.
Wow. Outstanding. So the skills that Skills USA tries to teach these folks in the program, are they just construction or do they branch out into other trades and industries also?
No, Skills USA will overreach all CTE programs, which is career education technology. And so we have students that are in construction trades, such as carpentry, cabinet making, welding, wiring, that kind of stuff. But we also have them in transportation. So we have students in diesel mechanics, diesel hydraulics, in aviation mechanics. We have bakers in culinary arts. We have technical areas of such as digital cinema, photography, and it just goes all over the place that we want to get students the soft skills and the hard skills to get out and be ready when they get out of high school to enter the workforce.
Well, that's a pretty impressive list of industries. In fact, you told me a great story about a young baker from Alaska, maybe before we started the podcast. Maybe you'd like to share that with us here on the recording.
Yeah, so students, when they compete at the state level, and sometimes it starts at the school level because we have limited space on each type of competition, they work their way up to earn their rights to go from one level to the next. And so we had a young lady, her name is Jordan Baker from King Career Center, that competed in baking, and she won at the state level. And her instructor took her, Kelly Puff, took her to Nationals, which was in Louisville, Kentucky. And that was 2 years ago, and she won at the national level, which at the national level, we have 50 states, all 50 states compete plus the four territories, and sometimes depends on what year it is, and that we may have international competitors down there too, so they're competing against a lot of different people, but she won at national level, and they take the 2 years, the year that she won and the year before or the year after, depending on when we have our international competition. And she competed against that and won and was invited to be on the U.S. Baking team for representing the United States. So she went to Abu Dhabi 2 years ago in October and was able to compete there in baking. And out of that, she took 12th place out of all the nations. I believe there's 32 nations that compete, and I'm not sure how many were competing in baking, but 12th right. place in the world.
That's something to be proud of there. That's amazing.
It is. She's got her life set straight and knows where to go. She has all kinds of job offers and being able to get her school paid for and everything.
That is amazing. I don't think how hard I'll try no matter how hard I try, I'll ever be in the top 20 for baking. I don't think I'll ever make it that high.
That's true.
No, I'm a terrible. I can't bake at all. I'll never get any awards for cooking. Now, you mentioned work ethic and work skills, kind of soft skills and hard skills. I just was going to see if you could speak a little to what the differences are between soft skills and hard skills for those that may not be familiar with those terms, and what the type of thing specifically that someone might learn in Skills USA program that would fall into those categories, and then how they'd apply in the workforce.
Yes. What we started, the national organization started a program called Framework, Skills USA Framework. And what it does is it develops common language between education and industry. And with the soft skills, what the students are learning at the personal skills, if we want to go that way, is work ethics is a big one. We always hear that students don't show up to work on time or put in their 8 hours. They want to mess around or not have to do that. But it teaches them the responsibility of being to work on time and being able to work with other people, be self-motivated, and know how to fill out paperwork, just basic things. If you have to have a time card, be able to understand how to fill out the time card and what to do about that. Then we go on to workplace skills, and that again is more on making decisions about something in case the boss says you're going to go out and frame a house or put up a wall, and they may have to do a decision because somebody may not be there and have that skills that they can take a little bit of leadership and understand that this is what needs to be done and not have to ask what to do each time on there. So we want them to be organized, planned and organized, and again, take over that leadership. And then the hard skills would be, if we're talking about carpenter, be able to have the tools of and how to use the tools of that trade. And as a carpenter, be able to use a skill saw safely, be able to use a hammer, air nail, or whatever tool is necessary, and have the skills that they're needed to start at the entry level, if we're talking about high school students, that they're ready to go to work, be there. And last year our theme was job ready day one, so we're trying to make sure that they understand what they need there. And this year's career ready, which is the same thing, being ready to go out on the workforce and be there on time. When somebody says to be there, whatever time it is, be there on time.
Outstanding. So you're teaching work ethics, timeliness, self-motivation, paperwork, underrated when it comes to construction, by the way, the paperwork. Teaching those things as soft skills, and then what are the tools and how to use them would be the hard skills that they learn.
Right.
Okay, outstanding. So you've got a variety of different industries. You've got a clear set of skills you're trying to teach. Where do you reach out to find applicants? Is this something in the high schools, middle schools? Is it post-secondary education? Where are you targeting all of this training outreach?
We were starting at the high school level, and now we're going down into the elementary with new programs coming out with the STEMS program, and that we're trying to work with them. And we have a couple of schools this year from Lower Yukon that are bringing some eighth graders in to see about, and their skills are going to be a photography or TV video production. And then we go into high school, and in the high school we're trying to encourage students to go into traditional and non-traditional areas. So you see a female student that's going into automotive or that, or a male student going into baking. And so whatever the high schools can offer, we're trying to get those so that the students will start learning those skills and interest them into that, because a lot of kids now are saying, what am I going to school for? I'm not being paid. And so in my class, I teach drafting and interior design and housing concepts, which is an intro to construction, that there is a responsibility that you're learning in the classroom, being there on time, being able to do your work,
yep,
and all that.
Learning how to learn.
Learn how to learn is correct.
half the battle, it seems like. So your outreach, is it mostly in the main cities, Anchorage, Fairbanks, or is it also in the rural? I mean, you mentioned Kuskokwim.
Go through, and it depends on who the instructors are from around the area. Also, some industry members will encourage the schools to or take on the leadership and work with the students. And so, yeah, we're in the major cities such as Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Kenai Peninsula, but we're also going out into the remote communities too. We have a chapter in Unalaska, Nome, and Lower Yukon Territory this year with Lower Yukon, okay. With Circle and Beaver and some of those other smaller towns that we can do stuff online learning too for the soft skills.
Outstanding, good. Now, you seem like you spend a lot of time in the school system. You've got the middle school outreach, a lot of high school focus. Have you seen a corresponding increase in the graduation rate of folks that are involved with and participants of Skills USA programs?
Yeah, the national organization took a survey, I think it was 2 years ago, I believe, and with that survey that they showed that 98% of the students that participated in Skills USA one level or another went on to graduate from high school and then went on into either the trades or on to college. And out of that, about 86%, I believe it was, from the college level, end up graduating, receiving the degrees, and going on into the field of training that they had.
Wow.
It's much better than the others. And I forgot to bring my booklet today, but I believe a normal high school student graduating has an 86% graduation rate. And mm-hmm. at the college level, I believe it's at 62%. Mm-hmm. So we're quite a bit higher, and it's quite impressive statistics that have been shown on that.
Yeah, that is quite impressive. That's a great testament to your program. Now, when they get a chance to work in the Skills USA program, do they have an opportunity to learn interview skills and things like that that are going to kind of cross different industries, those sort of general,
yes.
that sort of general training?
Yes, that would be in soft skill training. That's what instructors are working with. And we're trying to make sure that they do a job skill demo or jobs interview, something like that. And job skill demo is that they're going to show how they can do a particular thing. They go to in front of a group of judges, and they're the expert. They're the teacher showing that, and that gets them up in front of some strangers, adults that they're not used to working with, and showing that. Job interviews, we ask the community to come in and help do job interviews. And so we have a state conference coming up at the end of this month, and we have a lot of different community members, and we're always looking for more community members to come in and help judge and support us. And that's a way for the students to represent themselves and present themselves to the industry and what they have to offer.
That's really good to hear they're getting that training. That's super important. Yeah. Now, I have to ask, you mentioned earlier a skills competition. I come from a drywall finishing background and a painting background, and had the opportunity during my apprenticeship to compete in a contest for the skills of the trade, which was one of the funnest things I ever did as a tradesman. So I was just wondering if you could tell a little more about how those competitions work, maybe for the construction guys. What does that look like for these guys?
Yeah, I think we're all competitive, and so one of the things are and it shows what students are learning in their high school classes or college classes, that we'll go out, and if we're talking construction, we'll have a small wall that they have to frame. So they'll have to, and our competition is coming up in the end of the month here for construction. They'll have a small wall that's 8 foot long, and it'll be 4 feet high because of materials and cost of it. But the students will have to frame a door, frame a window, make sure they have corners done right, and then they'll have to cut a rafter, a bird's mouth, and sometimes we have a stair stringer or something like that mm-hmm. that they have to lay out and cut. And in other areas like wiring, we have electrical wiring this year. We're not going to have it, but the last 2 years we did, is that the students would have to go in and put a panel up. They'd have to go into the house and run the wire to where they needed to for lights, doorbell, outlets, whatever necessary there. And all the cabinet making, the students have to make a small cabinet, understand how to make drawers and doors and hang the hardware. And that's the same thing with all the competitions, baking, as we just talked about. They have an opportunity to make cakes or bread, and culinary arts. They have to make a meal, and they're given the raw products, and they're given a certain amount of time to get this all done. And most competitions last about 4 to 5 hours.
Oh, I was going to ask you if they were timed.
They're timed, yes.
And for the construction guys, is there an emphasis on safety?
Oh, yes. On every contest, it's on safety. So students have to be signed off at the high school level or the college level that they're safe to proficient in operating with whatever tools it may be that they're using. And same thing on any industry area. Baking, they got to be careful with what the, you know, super slick floors if something falls on that, so they have a special shoe. And in construction, we've got to make sure they're wearing boots or work clothing so it's nothing loose that's going to get caught up in the saw, or safety glasses,
good.
Hard hats and that.
Well, good to hear. I can assure you if they do choose to pursue a career in construction after high school, that'll be a major emphasis
yes.
for them, so it's good they learn that right away. Now, I see from looking at some of the information about SkillsUSA that they have a mission of empowering members to become world-class workers, leaders, and responsible American citizens. Do the folks at SkillsUSA see a need for new leadership in some of these industries that you're doing training in? What do you see when it comes to the general workforce out there?
From different people I've talked to, and we're also talking with different people. We work with Mike Rowe Foundation, and I work with Kaylee. I'm sorry, my mind went blank. Kayleen McCabe, and they're two big supporters that some people, your members might know about those, that they're going on and showing that there is a workforce shortage, and we know that everybody you talk to. My understanding is we're short by about 2 million skilled workers right now, and as an aging population starts retiring, we don't have those students that are being trained to replace that. Mm-hmm. So I know that we're really in a crunch right now. Alaska has a slowdown on their labor right now, but as soon as we start picking up again, if you need a welder, you need a carpenter, electrician, where are we going to find them?
That's
I think
a great
we just
question.
Saw that with the earthquake today, this last few months.
That's a really good point, Ray. I think workforce development is something that we can all agree needs to be a focus of Alaska and the rest of the nation.
Right.
I see also that the Alaska Skills USA is fully participating in the state's Career and Technical Student Organization, which is a function of the Department of Education and Early Development, as well as the Department of Labor. I just wonder if you could talk a little about the CTSO and how it works with Alaska Skills USA.
Yeah, the CTSO is the umbrella of all of the different organizations. We have Business Professional and HOSA and early Childhood Development and a couple others I can't think of right now. Future Farmers, people know about that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these organizations that are teaching youth the same thing as what SkillsUSA does in more specific areas, that we're trying to work with the Department of Labor and the Department of Education at the state level and at the national level on, again, getting these students ready for work and having the skills necessary for the first day they go come out on the workforce there, come to your job site and be able to fill out an application or be able to do the work without having somebody over them all the time.
Right. Now, in the interest of empowering students to achieve career success, have you seen that become a reality? Have you seen people that have gone through this SkillsUSA program become empowered? And I know it's kind of a vague word, but I'd kind of like to ask you what that means to you and what you've seen when it comes to the students that have come through this program.
Well, I think empowering means that they're going to set goals for themselves and go out there and become this different type of leader. I know through the state of Alaska, I've been here almost 40 years working with different students, and that's why I keep doing it, because it's really makes me feel good feeling, I guess is the word for it, that I can see these students, such as we talked about Jordan Baker, being able to show that she has the knowledge and the skills to do her baking. We have a lot of welding students, and there's, you know, you talk about community members around here. I know there's a lot of carpenters and cabinet making students and welders, painters, plumbers that have went through this program through the state of Alaska, or if you go through the lower 48, there's hundreds of them. There's state of Alaska has approximately 200 to 300 members every year, and nationwide, SkillsUSA is the second largest youth organization right under Future Farmers, and we're real close to them. And we have this year, I believe, 360,000 members nationwide.
Wow.
And so it's a organization that people are using and looking at. I know a lot of industry supports the schools and that by helping out and coming in and talking to kids and letting them know what's needed. And then those students set the goals to empower themselves to get those jobs that are waiting for them.
That's really great to hear you say that you have that emphasis on setting goals for themselves, because that is, I think, sometimes not taught as much as it should be, and that people, maybe the young folks in our community, don't realize the value of setting goals. And once you reach that goal, setting a new one.
Right.
And being able to learn the value of that, empowered to do that, will achieve career success ultimately. So it's really nice to see that SkillsUSA is putting that emphasis on that. Now, you're not a big staff. Are you work alone up in the state, or you mentioned that you're volunteering?
No, I'm a volunteer. I'm a full-time teacher at Wasilla High School or Massachusetts School District. And as I said, when I was an industry member, I got involved with this. I got sucked into it. And I also, when I went through the union and Washington State, it got me kind of touched into it, but then I didn't think about it much after one competition. That was all the farther it went.
Sure.
But coming up here, I got involved with it, helping me get started in the state of Alaska. And I just see all these students going out networking with my business myself. I looked out and I saw that these students are really good students. I had a cabin shop, and so I would hire high school kids to come in and apprentice for me and actually work for me. And when I finally went full-time teaching, the very last person that I laid off was somebody that went through SkillsUSA through the high school level, and he worked for me for almost 15 years before I let him go.
Wow.
One of the good employees I've had, and I've seen that with a lot of students out there.
That's really cool. Well, thank you then, even more so, volunteering your time to do this. And it sounds like you've been involved since the 70s, you said?
So 1975.
1975, wow. Well, that really shows that it's truly a part of your character and what you want to see happen in the state. So thank you.
Like I say, enjoy that, and thank you.
So the last thing, probably the most important thing, how would someone apply, or someone out there that might be hearing this, who's in school that wants to learn more about this program or to apply to participate in it, what should they do?
I would encourage everybody to go. There's two different places you can go to. One is the SkillsUSA.org, which is a national organization website and has a lot of good information. Or you can go to AlaskaSkillsUSA.org, and it is our state website, and it shows all the different information that we have here at the state level. And as I say, we're always seeking volunteers and help and donations to keep the organization going, because we are a nonprofit and we don't receive any funds from anybody at all. We're just mainly operating off what we have for our state conference, which comes up and it's going to be this month on March 28th, 29th, and 30th. So our soft skills are on the 28th at King Career Center. We need judges from starting at 4 o'clock on Thursday night, and they'll go through till about 9 o'clock that night, and they'll do job interviews and prepared speeches and job skill demos, and they have welding sculptures and a lot of cool things that the kids do there. Then on Friday, we need help in the carpentry, cabinet making, automotive area, working with stations and just watching over students, make sure they're operating safe and evaluating how they're doing. So this is to show the students and industry what quality of work the kids have learned or what they need to improve. It shows instructors that what we need, and the industry tells us what we need. And so if we are told that we need to change something, we'll do that. And that's what we want. We want feedback. And again, we need lots of materials to be supported on these contests.
Okay, understood. So that's good information. That's Thursday, March 28th through Saturday, March 30th?
Right.
And that's at King Career Center?
It's at King Career Center or at King, UAA.
King Tech High School.
It's King Tech High School. I apologize.
I just realized that myself. All right. But same place. We're talking about the same place.
Same place, yeah.
And it's also where, you said, UAA?
UAA at the Transportation Department.
Okay.
So they're doing the diesel and that. Contest there. We also have at the AATE program at University Center. They're doing the drafting over there.
All right.
Now, I'd also like to invite anybody, if they like, to meet Kaylin McCabe, which she's a TV star and supporter of ours.
Okay.
She'll be up here on the 29th, and she'll most likely be at King Tech High School or at UAA on Friday, and then on Saturday morning she'll be at the closing ceremony, which will be at the Wells Fargo Center at UAA, and that starts at 10 o'clock.
Okay, great. Well, that's good to know. And if people were interested in helping out or attending, can they email you?
They could, yes.
Would that be alaskaskillsusa@gmail.com?
Yes.
Outstanding. And for more information, people can visit alaskaskillsusa.org or just
skillsusa.org.
Great for general website. That's really good for people to know so they can get a hold of you and hopefully either participate in the program as a student or maybe help out with your convention coming up.
And we also invite anybody who's free to come over and see the competitions and see what the kids are doing. We're always encouraging that, so they're more than welcome to come out.
Is that run more normal 9 to 5 those days? Or?
On Thursday, it'll start at 4 o'clock at night and go through about 9 o'clock that night. Those contests are kind of hard to see, but you can see the welding sculpture and the photography. They have pictures out and some pin designs that we do have out that the general public can see. The competitions are set back where people can't go in and actually see them compete.
Okay, understood.
But on Friday, they can come to one of the competition sites and actually see the competitions going on. So culinary arts and photography and a couple other contests are going to go on. Carpentry are going to be taking place at King Tech High School. And then UAA Transportation Department will have the small engine diesel and automotive.
Okay.
Yeah, and also at the aviation department of UAA is where the aviation contest is going to be.
Okay, outstanding. And are those on Friday and Saturday during the
day? Just
also?
Friday, only Friday, 8 to 3:30.
Okay, there you go, 8 to 3:30. Outstanding. Well, I really appreciate your time, Ray. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that you wanted to mention about SkillsUSA?
No, I just hope everybody has an opportunity that's listening to go at least to the website and take a look at it, and also like to invite you to come and see our competitions, and if you're interested in meeting Kayla McCabe and hear what she has to say about it, it's a fun time for all the students, and they're liking to network with industry members and
sure.
That too.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a great opportunity for everybody involved. So,
well, thank you.
Appreciate you putting it together. Appreciate your time today and joining us, and it's been a joy chatting with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.